Maybe a Yankee Red Sox forecast.
Commissioners, Secretary Hepler, Scott Simpson, Administrative Resources Chief. It's been a few months since I've gotten to visit with you folks. We've been running short on time, I think, about the last 3 months, and I haven't been able to give you an update, but that's okay. We're in a good place now. I want to run through some of our monthly numbers, and then also I was asked to give you a real brief update on the impacts of cubing preference points. So I've got just a few slides and a few examples I want to give you. Do you have those? Paul, did you hand those out? Yeah, no, thank you.
Sorry, I got some other stuff going.
Anyway, let's start with page 23 in your booklets, talking about the monthly license sales. You'll see some numbers that have come back a little bit since the last time we visited. I think the last time that I gave you an update, we were running a revenue deficit of about $260,000. It's come back in you know, that bottom number right now. We're looking at about $195,000. Reasons for that, you'll see that combination licenses for residents, we're running behind there, as well as resident annual fishing licenses. I can pretty much guarantee you that those numbers are not going to come back this year. We're to that time of the year where we're not going to see either one of those move significantly. We've sold as many of those licenses as we're, you know, probably 95 to 98%. So where we do likely see some movement the rest of the year will be in the small game categories, both on the resident and non-resident side. And you can see on the resident small game side, we're tracking about where we were last year. We hope that that number is going to increase. We hope that the favorable pheasant forecast will get more people out there and get them in the field this fall. On the non-resident side, I just had them run the numbers again yesterday. We're up about 19.7% from where we were at this time last year. That's really preliminary. We've only sold about, you know, 5,000 licenses. We'll have a better understanding of where we were at in 2 to 3 weeks. Once we get into opening weekend, we've done the guesstimation for several years now, and we feel like we have a pretty good handle that we'll know what's going on shortly after pheasant season opens, and we'll be able to report that back next month. Some of the licenses that are not on this, I was coming this direction yesterday and stopped by our Fort Pierre office and picked up my archery license. You know, we made some modifications to that this year, moving it earlier in the year. Also removed the education requirement for the archery season, and I was just curious what those numbers look like. Right now we are up about 600 licenses on the non-resident side from this point last year, and we're up about 2,000 resident licenses from where we were at this point last year. You know, which factor, which change is having the biggest impact? I can't tell you that. You know, are we just seeing people buy licenses earlier, and that's why we're showing up as a, you know, kind of just running ahead of schedule? We'll know that here middle of November. So anyway, just kind of curious numbers. Is there any questions about just the regular monthly license sales? If not, I'll move into the cubing of the preference real quick. So just to give you a real quick background on the purpose of the preference points, our preference system is a weighted lottery. We all know that. The individuals with the most accrued preference points have an advantage over those with fewer preference points. It's the way it's always been. It ensures that individuals with preference points will be drawn before those without preference points. So there, at no point in time do we ever have somebody with 0 years of preference in our deer and antelope drawings or turkey drawings drawing before somebody that has at least 1 year preference. We've made those changes. But it does not guarantee that if you have the most preference points that you're going to draw. Some states do a top-down lottery system, preference system, and we're not one of those states. So we made two modifications recently. In 2015, we made a modification so that if you had 2 years of preference, we were going to guarantee you that you drew before somebody with 1 year of preference. That was a proposal that we brought before the commission. It's not necessarily in rule, but we asked you to approve that, and you did that in 2015. And I'll give you an example, kind of walk through that just a little bit more. The other change that we made, obviously, and that's why we're talking about it today, is the cubing of preference points. That began this year with our elk drawings, and we can show some examples of how that has impacted the distribution of licenses within those drawings. First example I'll give you is Harding County Any Deer. You'll see, I tried to pick out some examples that made the point, but those are the units that are very difficult to draw. I mean, that's the best examples I can give you. So you see that we have people that have been out there for 7, 8 years, and if you think 8 years of preference, it's actually been 9 years since they've had this particular license. So if you look at the left-hand column, you'll see in 2017, put the percentages there. In 2017, we had 1 out of 3 individuals with 7 years of preference draw, and we had 1 out of 3 individuals with 6 years of preference draw, and so on and so forth. You get down to the 2 years of preference, and we had 24 individuals out of the 66 with 2 years of preference that drew. Move over to the right-hand side and see what happened this year. You can see that those licenses shifted towards the top. We have a higher percentage of those individuals with increased preference accumulations that drew. 100% of the folks that had 8 years of preference, 67% of those with 6, all the way up and down. So you'll see that, yeah, the preference cubing did what it was supposed to do. It gave some more advantage to those individuals that have more years of preference. Next example, Black Hills Any Deer. We've got 250 of these licenses, 200 of these licenses, and 100 of them went to landowners, so there's 200 total. You can see in 2017, we've got individuals that are up into that 11, 12 years of preference. You look at the top, from 7 years of preference up until 12, the best that we could do was 10%, roughly. 10 years of preference, 5 out of 57 drew. We look at this year, we can see that those numbers, they didn't go to the 100% like they did in some of the West River Deer drawings, but what they did do is it increased the percentage of individuals with 12 years of preference went to 7%, 11 years, 25%, 10 years, 20%, so on and so forth. And it also reduced the number of licenses that were going to the individuals with 2, 3, and 4 years of preference. Another great example is muzzleloader. It's one of those seasons that is high demand. It's kind of been one of those bonus seasons, I guess, that we viewed it in the past. You can see that we've got individuals out there again, 10, 11, 12 years of preference. It did what it was supposed to do. It shifted those licenses again from the people that were drawing with 2 and 3 years. Gave that opportunity to individuals with more increased years of preference. Last example I'll give you, and a little tough to read, is the Black Hills elk drawings. This is probably one of those where it had a significant impact, but we're not talking about a whole lot of licenses. If I look in 2017, you'll see that 64 individuals with 15 years of preference or more actually drew the license in unit 2. This is our highest demand elk unit, and again, 64 individuals drew in 2017. Move over to 18, and you look at that same group, 15 years of preference or more, 107 of those individuals actually drew licenses. So fairly significant increase in the number of individuals with elevated preference that drew. You also see that in 2017, we had individuals down there. We had 2 individuals with 0 years of preference that drew. You'll also see that with less than 9 years, we had 27 folks that got a elk license in unit 2. Switch that fast forward to 2018, there's only 4 individuals with less than 9 years or less that drew. So that was the point of cubing preference points, was to give that advantage to those individuals with more preference, and we can see here that it did what it was supposed to do. So recapping, it did what it increased the odds for those with higher preference accruals. It has a more significant impact in some seasons and some units than it does others. Places where there isn't high demand, doesn't make any difference, but it definitely impacts those that are very difficult to draw. The increase in advantage for those with more preference points comes at the expense of someone else, and that's the individuals with less preference points. You can't give something to somebody without taking it away from somebody else, and that's what we did. And the only true way, and you guys have been kicking this around for 2 months now, the only true way to increase the frequency of drawing licenses is to reduce the applications or increase the license numbers. So those hard demand units, we can do whatever we want to with preference points. We're never going to satisfy that demand until we reduce those applications. And I think you all understand that because you made that decision this morning to try to reduce some of those applications. So anyway, real quick update on where we are at with cubing and our monthly license sales. Any questions? I'd sure be happy to take them.
Questions? Comments? Nope. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Let's take a break till 10:10.